Jack, that was the Leonardo DiCaprio.
I haven't seen it.
You've never seen Titanic?
No, because black people don't care about Titanic. we weren't even allowed to be in the bottom. What are you talking about? We probably helped around the back. They like load stuff in the back. If you guys want to hitch a ride, there's an anchor. That's it. Move on.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
All right, so I want to kick off today, if I may, with the 11 worst fast food restaurants in America.
Oh, aren't fast food restaurants all the worst fast food restaurants?
Apparently not. I don't eat at fast food restaurants a lot, unless I'm on the turnpike. But I have no choice whatsoever. But on the top of the list, I'm sure you can guess. Think about the if you've been to a food court, because this is food court and roadside.
Okay.
All right. If you've been to a mall ever in your life, where is the worst possible place to eat food in the food court?
Downstairs.
And if you know the name of the like if it's below ground, if it's subterranean,
yeah, I don't forget it.
So what's if you think about a lot of oil on a plate?
Oh, God. It was, there's so many. Sbarro's?
Yes. Sbarro's. That is the worst.
Are you kidding?
The Fiscal Times says, whether they like pizza, hamburgers, chicken, or sandwiches, Americans want more than just a cheap meal when they're eating out of the fast food, which is true. Now, people want, like, better
quality food.
Better quality food.
Yeah.
The quality, the freshness, as well as the food, as well as the quality of the service, not the freshness of the service,
right,
have become top priorities when choosing a spot. They surveyed 32,000 people who ate more than 96,000 meals at 65 chains, and they found that the less ubiquitous ones and the regional ones were the most popular. That makes sense.
Like right,
the smaller
right.
the place.
Sure.
So the top loser was Sbarro.
Sbarro,
which
yeah.
specializes in New York-style pizza.
Yeah.
No, it does not.
No, it doesn't.
It does not. The chain has been doing so badly, it closed more than 150 locations in February.
As
and
well.
Filed for Chapter 11.
As well it should.
It's the worst. Like, it's
just around forever.
Oil. It's just oil lying on a thick piece of toast is what I think of. And, like, some ketchup.
Yeah, some ketchup and then some slime.
Yeah,
slime
and I remember the food was so bad there that even as teens we were like we probably shouldn't eat this. And you know a teen will eat anything.
Yeah, there was something about it that
it was the oil, I think. So that's the worst. Number 11 is
oil slick on a plate.
Panda Express.
I've never eaten
me
Panda
either.
Express.
But it always looks nasty to me. They said that the food was terrible, the quality was low, the freshness it wasn't fresh at all.
All right.
But the service was excellent. So, then number 10, the vegetarian's favorite, Taco Hell.
Oh, God.
I used to go there all the time when I was younger.
Really?
Because they had things without meat. And then once I saw how they made it.
Oh.
Did you ever work fast food?
No, I did not.
I worked at a Hardee's for about 2 training sessions.
And then you
And I busted out.
Ran screaming.
I had to watch a training video in the back. And not only did I see a roach, but the training, it was a VHS tape. The VCR was so slimy from grease that I was like, I can't work here. I actually took off my shirt that I had and like folded it up and was like, I can't do this.
And you folded it neatly and left it.
Neatly.
Oh, that was good of you. But still, you know, like when you see that greasy coating, you know you're going to be coated.
Exactly.
I'm getting a little yucky.
It's gross.
Yeah.
Number 9, Little Caesars. Pizza.
Yeah.
I don't
know. Who's he appealing to?
I don't know. Okay, so in New Jersey, you guys order from like a regular local pizza place, right?
A real
restaurant. Pizza place.
Yeah, never Domino's.
That's the next one. And never Pizza Hut. That's the
Pizza Hut.
One. When I was a kid growing up, Pizza Hut was like an Italian family restaurant. It had a fire pit. It had a salad bar.
Right.
It was independently owned.
Right.
Now, it's next to KFC.
Oh.
Then there's something called Cece's Pizza.
No, I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is. Burger King. Mm-hmm. McDonald's, Church's Chicken, which I didn't think was a real thing outside of this area.
Oh.
And then
I never heard of that.
KFC.
KFC. Well, it's not real chicken, is it?
No. And then number 1, the worst, as we already talked about, Sbarro's, which is just awful.
Well, KFC, you know, I thought was real chicken when it started.
Yeah. Well, they've moved away from that slave dude. The colonel?
Yeah. Right. The plantation owner.
I always wanted to see a commercial where there's just a bunch of black people happily dancing in the background with chicken.
Like,
that's
where
it's going.
I built my empire
on the back of slaves.
Yay.
Who love the chicken as well. Now I can charge them.
Yeah. They gave me the recipe.
They gave.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's the worst. A Sbarro, I really, like I feel like it was a punishment. Whenever we stopped at like a roadside place and there were no choices there. Because if you don't eat meat or if you just want something fast, pizza.
Yeah, you have to.
And
have
you would always get it and it would just be, it's like close to the pizza that you, remember the French bread pizza?
Mm-hmm.
Like at a school lunch type of situation. It's
Ilio's.
Yeah. It is worse than that because at least that is real bread, real cheese.
I feel like the
cheese at Sbarro is like a polymer.
Do
you know what I mean? Like science brought you that cheese.
I know, but I
petroleum.
I went to Catholic school as a kid, and
did
on
you
Fridays,
guys have lunches?
We had lunches. They made some in the cafeteria.
Fish, right? Fish on
Fridays. No, Fridays. Well, kids aren't going to eat fish on Fridays.
I thought that was a Catholic thing.
You couldn't eat meat on Fridays. So, but like, yeah. So usually for adults, you would go for a piece of fish. Sure, you and I would.
Yeah.
Children do not want fish.
Oh,
lunch.
Really?
Yeah.
Where I'm from. Well, because I grew up on the water, though.
Yeah, but you probably had nice fresh and...
Yeah. It wasn't like the fish wasn't frozen.
So we, it was always Friday was pizza day, and it was always Ilio's pizza.
Oh, God.
And you had to order it in the morning.
That's right.
And in a homeroom or whatever, the first class.
It's like, they got to start leavening.
Right. They got to heat up that massive beast.
Yeah, that big oven in the back, that brick oven that they have.
It's like one or two. It's like, oh.
But it was better than nothing. And it had probably a couple flakes of oregano on top, I'm guessing.
No, nothing?
They
didn't mess with it. Nothing green for kids. Are you kidding? No, putting green on there.
What if it's just dried? It looks brown. Nothing.
Sbarro's.
In any case. So that's my report. The worst fast food restaurant.
I still like McDonald's fries, though.
You know what? The taste of McDonald's fries and the smell, they make it somewhere in New Jersey. It's like a chemical thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, why don't you just put it in my water?
Yeah.
Like, why can't I have that with it? Why can't everything taste like a McDonald's French fry?
Right.
Like, those nasty, like they're really good for you. Like, Ravita. Why can't that taste like a French fry?
I know. I mean,
instead of cardboard.
Yeah, put that on everything.
Yes.
Everything. Put it on tofu.
My coffee. Why not? In my wine. Why not?
Okay. Oh, right.
Oh, my God. Then I would be. I would never make it to the day.
It's chia seeds.
Yeah.
Put it in your chia seeds.
Exactly.
And I'd be like, oh, this is a fry. Yeah.
All right. So what do you have?
I have very special vintage advice.
Vintage advice on advice. Advice on advice is a segment where we go on the internet and we find advice that stinks. It's unqualified. And we improve upon it by giving advice on advice. But
that's
today,
right.
I don't know if we're going to be able to improve on advice given by Bette Davis.
That's correct. Bette Davis, one of our favorite performers of all time. The movie, my favorite movie with her
is All About Eve. Fantastic.
Oh my God, one of the best movies ever. I have that and I watch it every time.
Watching videos towards the end of her life where she's just like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Smoke. She smoked furiously.
She was a tremendous woman. She had a lot of drive and passion, and nobody was going to stop her from doing anything.
No one was going to F with her.
Right. And so she also had an advice column. This was from 1943.
Did she give advice to Joan Crawford? Just give it up. Hang it up. Forget about it.
Right. And her advice column was called, What Should I Do?
Okay. What should I do?
What should I do? Ask Bette Davis. So people wrote into Bette Davis.
Is this before she was famous?
No. This is while she was famous.
Why don't more celebrities do this?
I would love it.
You know who should do one? I'm just out of curiosity. Because Amy Poehler does one for girls.
Yeah.
I think Jennifer Aniston should do one for a woman of a certain age.
Oh, yeah.
Questions from a woman of a certain age.
Yes, right.
By Jennifer Aniston. I want to hear what she has to say.
Well, here's somebody wrote in for advice, and this is an example of what it would be. Okay.
Was it Montgomery Cliff?
Okay. Montgomery Cliff. And she's using him as a footstool at this point. Like, a glass of a martini in one hand, Montgomery Cliff.
And the other?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the advice?
The question is... Okay. My face is long, thin, and plain.
Oh, my God. It's Katherine Hagel. She has Time Machine. She went back in time to ask Bette Davis what to do.
And my hair is short, dry, brittle, and lifeless.
People back then kept it real.
Yeah. There is no way I can arrange it to become my unfortunate face.
Bette Davis is like, I have no idea what you might be going through, having never had this problem.
Yeah.
Both my face and hair are luxurious by any standards.
Right. The reason why I'm mentioning my face and hair is because I'm afraid it is keeping me out of the romantic world.
Okay.
The whole situation from the neck up.
Yep.
I am past 25 and have never yet had a date with anyone of the opposite sex.
Wow. Oh, so she's been dating women? Not bad.
Fine. During my school days, I was always considered to be funny looking. You can imagine how I felt when I was called by most,
I was voted most funny looking in the yearbook. They would do something like that back then.
Yeah, right? Yeah, they would. Just no PC, anything. Yeah. Especially, I hadn't done anything to deserve them. Even my mother at times has called me ugly.
Oh, a face not even a mother could pretend to love. That's hard.
I'm feeling bad for her. I do not even have any close friends, although I do have old school friends. They merely smile and pass on after speaking to me on the street.
Old school? Like throwback friends?
What would you advise a girl of 25 to do when she is finding herself growing to be an old maid? Signed, Mona L.
Ooh, Mona?
Yeah.
Can you imagine a little girl named Mona?
She thinks she's being really hard on herself.
Ah, let's see.
You know, I don't know.
Well, we haven't seen her, though.
We haven't seen her.
Okay, let's just...
That's how she's describing herself.
Before we go on this, there's a thing nowadays where we have to pretend like everybody looks good all the time. Come on.
Okay.
There's been phases of your life probably when you can look at pictures of yourself and be like, whoa.
Yeah.
There was definitely a couple years where I was like, what the hell?
There's all kinds of things.
Why wasn't I wearing a bag and just staying in a dim light?
Yeah, and who told me that? And why am I smiling?
Who said that bi-level haircut was slamming?
The bi-level haircut.
No, I was advised to get it. And I look at the pictures now and I'm like, I look like a damn fool.
Yeah, we all did. I had one too. Yeah.
So, anyway.
Then, so the reply is, Dear Miss L., it just so happened the day I was answering your letter, the editor of a prominent woman's magazine was on the set. So I asked her for advice on your problem.
Oh, wow. She's like, I don't even give my own advice.
Yes.
I'm very busy.
I'm on the set.
I outsource.
Yeah. She said there are success schools in New York City which have helped girls far more handicapped than you.
What?
And trained them to be attractive, popular, and happy persons.
Wow. When I was a little girl, I went to charm school.
Did you?
To charm lessons, yeah. And you see how that worked out. Scratch, scratch. Fart.
I was waiting for it. You're like, I went to charm school. And then you paused.
I did go to charm school. It's real.
I know you went.
You can tell.
As I understand it, the course is given by mail. You supply these people with a photograph, full figure, as well as face, of yourself.
Okay.
They diagnose...
And there's some gay men in a room who are like, girl, look at this one. We can't help you.
Oh, no. They diagnose your problems and prescribe for you. There is only one way to take the course of this.
Because this is like what not to wear in the past, right?
Right, right. This is like Tim Gunn's Guide to Style. It's like, here's my photo, body, face.
I find it interesting that they had that back then. Like, if there was a problem like that, it's like, I'm not attractive. Just wait.
Just wait. Yeah. It's a whole team of people ready to help you.
A team.
Well, you know, for women, you know, you're really based, everything was based, your work on your looks.
If you didn't look good, you were like facing an uphill journey.
All right. There is only one way to take a course of this kind. If you really want to change, which you seem to, you must seriously apply yourself to their suggestions. Let me know how you progress. Betty Davis.
Wow. So she, not only did she not solve, I mean, she asked someone else what someone else would do.
Yeah.
And this is actually not bad advice.
It's not bad advice.
I think it's very pragmatic. I think she, nowadays the advice would be like, you look fine the way you are, but you know what? This woman either doesn't or doesn't feel good about herself.
Yeah,
even if she's attractive. And she doesn't feel good about herself, and this course or whatever is going to make her feel better.
Yeah.
I think it's probably a matter of styling. Nowadays, there's a myriad resources for styling.
Yeah.
Like, I've looked on things for your figure. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, I'm short, I'm this, I'm blah, blah, blah. What can I wear?
What do I wear?
Online for that. Or you can go to your hairdresser with tons of pictures and be like, here's how I maybe want my hair to look, or this and that and the other, and they will give you some, like... You know, help on
right. And then you have people who specialize in every single part of your body. So,
but also,
you're not...
we live in New York City.
Yeah.
So in my town where I'm from, a very small town, I would probably just go. That's where I got that bi-level. You know, it's like in some places you go, it's like everyone has the same haircut, but it doesn't really work for everybody. But that's the style, so people are getting it.
Right.
This isn't bad advice.
It's not bad advice.
Betty Davis.
I like Betty Davis.
Yeah.
Just think about it. Like, how many people work on your body? You got.
Manicures, pedicures.
Manicure, pedicure.
You may see a nutritionist.
A nutritionist. Let's start from the head down. So you got a hairstylist and colorist. Then you have a brow girl. A brow girl.
Well, you have somebody who also can help you with your makeup. Like if you go to a makeup counter and you want to get a different look.
Go for facials.
Yeah.
Then you have somebody to size you for your bras.
Yep. Yeah, pretty much. Well, if you also, if you go to the right places, they'll tell you how to dress.
Yeah,
right. How to put everything together.
Right. And then you can get your waxing.
Yeah. And you can even have at like cheap places nowadays. Not that J. Crew is that cheap, but you know what I mean? Like mid-range places, they have personal shoppers.
Right.
You can make an appointment.
Right. And then you can get your exfoliations and your massages.
Yeah. And let's not forget the hooves.
Yeah.
Very important.
Get those hooves done.
Yes.
And then, yeah, you have your nutritionist, your acupuncturist.
A personal trainer, maybe a massage person,
right.
A therapist. Yeah, they have everything got done. This woman just has a correspondence course. I guess she has to do all that herself.
With off a picture.
I can't imagine having to do that myself.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I can't even paint my nails anymore. All right. I like that one. That's excellent advice.
Betty Davis.
We could not improve upon that advice on a... That advice was qualified.
Yeah.
It did not stink. It smelled like roses. It smelled like Chanel No. 5.
It was straight from the set.
And it was straight from the set. I like it.
So,
I have an ancient ghost story.
Ancient ghost story. So,
yes.
this is Tales from the Campfire, listeners. This is a segment wherein we retell a ghost story, a myth, folklore, fake lore.
Legends. Tales of the paranormal.
Around the digital campfire. So.
Yeah, gather around. This is from Pliny the Younger. Not Pliny the Elder.
The
Sorry, I was wrong earlier. This is an ancient ghost story.
Elder is my father. Please call me the younger.
Call me the younger. Just Pliny.
Okay. Oh.
So this is from between 61. So Pliny lived between 61 and 115 AD.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And he has.
Those were the days.
Those were the days. And this is the ghost story. All right. So there was a house in Athens, spacious and open, but with an infamous reputation, as if it was filled with pestilence.
Nice.
For in the dead of night, a noise like the clashing of iron could be heard, and if one listened carefully, it sounded like the rattling of chains.
Well, it was,
you know. At first, the noise seemed to be at a distance, but then it would appear nearer and nearer, and then a phantom would come with the noise.
A phantom?
Yes. An old man, pale and emaciated, with a long beard and hair that appeared driven by the wind.
You know, we don't hear enough about phantoms. I think we have to dig into phantoms a little bit more.
Yeah, we should do that. Phantoms.
Right.
Phantoms. Yeah, I don't know anything about phantoms.
Nobody ever even says phantom anymore.
So the fetters, those are the chains on his, or manacles.
Or specters.
Or specters on his feet. On his feet and hands. Yeah, that would be weird, wouldn't it? Is that four?
Feet?
Feet.
Yeah.
Four?
Yeah. Probably.
So he was rattling, and anybody who was in the house just couldn't get a good night's sleep, right? So eventually, you know, the people couldn't sleep in this house, and they would be driven to madness, and then they would move out. And the landlord was like, what can I do here?
Right.
So the landlord couldn't think of anything else to do except for to put the rental price very low and just keep shtum. Like, not say anything about it at all.
I don't know.
And hopefully, you know, someone will come along. So... The house was inhabitable, but it so happened that a tenant who came along, who was unaware of what was going on, and he saw the price, that it was very, very low. The guy's name is Athenodorus, and he came to Athens.
Oh, wow.
What's Athenodorus?
I wonder what you know, drove him to
What
go
drove
there?
Him there?
Why
so he saw the rent, and he was like, this is suspicious. But he was like, you know what? I'm going to find out what the story is. So he finds out that it's a ghost that's haunting the place. He's like, fine, whatever. I don't care.
I'm here to write.
I have a lot of writing to do. So as the evening drew near, he had a couch prepared for him in the front section. He had some light. He had writing materials. And then he dismissed the servants. He was like, I'm good. So to keep his mind from being distracted, he directed all of his energy towards his writing. But then he started to hear the noise.
Oh.
And so he just ignored it. Kept writing.
It's like, I have things to do.
He didn't lift his eyes. He didn't lay down his pen. He just closed his ears and concentrated on the work. But the noise increased and got closer and closer to him until it was at the door. And then it was in the chamber.
Oh.
So then Athenodorus looks up. He sees the phantom.
And he's like...
Holds up a finger. Tells it to wait.
Yep. I love it.
Finish it. And it was like, he saw exactly what people described. He's like, hold on a second. He said he'd wait, and he finished up his work, his writing, the paragraph or whatever. And then the ghost started just shaking the chains, like, come on, dude, are you kidding me? So then finally he was like, all right. He picks up his lamp. He follows the ghost. The ghost moves slowly, so let's imagine he's still following him for some time. He gets to the courtyard. All of a sudden, poof, the ghost is gone.
What? Oh, he was like, after all this, he brought me out here.
So then at the spot where the ghost disappeared, he marked it with some leaves, it says, and some grasses. And then the next day, he was like, dig up this spot here, let's see what's going on. So they dug up the spot, and there was a body, or like the remains of a body, in chains. So then he had this. He had the government pay for a proper burial. Boom. The house was no longer haunted.
Wow. See?
And even I hope then, he kept his cheap rent.
I hope so, too. No, they're like, oh, well, you know. Yeah.
I told this story to Greg. My husband is of Greek descent, and he was like, classic Greek landlord. Put up a sign and be like, you know, if it's cheap, maybe no one will ask questions.
Right.
So that's Pliny the Younger's story.
And that was from way back.
Way back. That's not bad.
That is not bad.
That's not bad.
And you know, that kind of story, it just, we keep hearing about the same kind of things. Like, somebody's like, I'm not buried properly.
Yeah. This person was improperly buried in this courtyard, and he was just really trying to be like, hey, I wonder why no one else bothered to, like, follow him or chit-chat or, like, see what was going on.
No,
they just got driven to madness?
Well, yeah, they were so frightened.
But, I mean, the Athenodorus was just like, yo, hold on.
Yeah.
I got something
well,
here.
Well, he had nerves of steel.
Yes. And he was focused on his writing.
Right.
So that is my tales.
Right.
Was there an aroma that came in?
Yeah. Well, did you smell that?
Yeah, I don't know what it was. Pliny the Elder didn't mention anything about
that. Listeners, smelling it again is
what is
nasty.
It?
It's like, I would almost say...
Don't say feet.
No, it's not like a foot. It's more like stale... It's like a sour, stale smell, like stale sweat.
Well, you know what? Let's keep an eye on it. If we feel dizzy, we'll have to leave.
Yeah. I'm kidding.
If something happens. So what do you... the scent from the campfire.
Jesus, it's disgusting.
Yes. Okay, let's...
Okay, all right. Anyways, so...
We are professional, so we persevere through stench.
We do.
Yeah,
we
through
do.
Rain, through hail.
Okay, I have a Hey You Didn't Know It.
All right, so Hey You Didn't Know It is a segment where we report on news of the oblivious living among us, or in our midst.
Yes. Okay, here it is. The title of the article is Chief Ebola Doctor Overseeing Case in Sierra Leone Contracts the Virus.
Are you kidding me? That's going to happen sooner. It's like Marie Curie died from uranium.
Right. It's like you didn't know it, that this was going to happen. If you're like...
Did he prick himself?
And he was a doctor who played a key role in fighting the Ebola outbreak that's going on right now.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's always going on.
He was over in Telfolinil. He was overseeing treatment and isolation units in, in a government hospital about 185 miles outside of the capital. They declined to provide details, but I went and I watched the video with Sanjay Gupta.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with Ebola, it's nasty.
It's a flesh-eating virus, right?
No. It's this virus. Basically, what happens, you get this virus, and it makes you unable to clot. So you just start bleeding out within. And so
any,
blood comes out.
Any lesion, any...
But then it comes out of your eyes.
Are you serious?
It will come in. Yeah, when it just kind of basically gets you from
inside. I thought it was a flesh-eating one. Okay.
No. It typically kills 90% of those infected. But the death rate in this outbreak has dropped to about 60% thanks to early treatment.
How do you get it?
It says here, it originated in West Africa. Symptoms don't immediately appear, and the virus can spread easily as people travel throughout the region. Once you get the virus, you die in an average of 10 days. Your blood fails to clot, hemorrhaging occurs.
Jeez.
It's not contagious until symptoms appear. So symptoms include fever, headache, and fatigue. Great.
Well,
at that point,
that's a symptom of like living in the city.
Yeah. At that point, Ebola virus is spread via bodily fluids.
Ooh.
So bodily fluids. So it's not if you're around somebody with it, you're not going to get it.
Unless you come in contact with bodily fluids. Okay.
Bodily fluid to bodily fluid.
That's insane.
Health workers are at a high risk since they're in close contact with the infected and their bodily fluids. and also in the initial stages, the infection, people may mistake it for another illness.
Oh, no. And then they're not as careful with fluids, I guess. That's terrible.
I know it's a, hey, you didn't know it, but it's
but it's like, they gotta protect themselves more. I guess, and hopefully after something like this, though, they will, like, revamp
their
standards for how they protect themselves.
Okay, now, so they're out there in West Africa. It is third world.
Yeah.
They put on these suits, but they're basically in shacks. And these people that are sick and being treated, they're all in shacks. It's not like a regular hospital. It's not like, people are in their homes. And these doctors, there's one guy from Canada who, he regularly works with them, and they go through a whole procedure where they put on the Tyvek suits, mm-hmm. they put on a suit, and then a whole helmet, like a Darth Vader style, that comes down with a big collar.
Yeah.
Right, and goggles, and they have a whole procedure for putting it on and taking it off and disinfecting themselves mm-hmm. afterwards. And
see, this is where we need robots, though, mm-hmm. right? This is what I feel like, because, like, normally we're against robots doing work, but this is the kind of work that the robots need to be doing.
And I felt bad because this guy is, like, the voiceover, they were saying, well, this doctor is from Canada, he's not married, and he doesn't have children, so that's an asset. And that's, like, the kind of doctors
you that they send in?
Yeah, because they can't be sending, because if you have family, you're going to want to go back and visit your family.
But you can't.
And you can't.
Oh, God. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Oh,
Ooh. So,
is that,
there
mean,
was a book called The Cobra Effect that was out in the 90s. I read that.
Is it about that?
It's about the Ebola virus, and you'll just probably, like, scream reading it.
Oh, I'd like to read it.
I did.
I love reading stuff about, I know it's awful, but diseases are fascinating to me.
Yes.
But not like in World War Z. That was terrible.
Yeah.
We just watched that again for some reason. Oh, did Greg hadn't seen it. We watched it at home. I was like, it's as bad as I remember.
The first 20 minutes are great, though. I think.
Yes, the opening is good, but it continues to go on for another, like, hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah.
That's the problem. If it were just a 20-minute film, I would be happy with it. So I have here, penis news.
Oh, penis news.
This is some penis news that, you know, it's penis related.
Okay.
It says here, Chubby Checker and Hewlett Packard settle penis measurement app lawsuit.
What?
It says here, rock and roll singer, famous for the twist, mm-hmm. has been seeking $500 million over a penis measuring app. It says, rock and roll star Chubby Checker, best known for the twist. His real name is Ernest Evans.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He's suing HP for irreparable damage, mm-hmm. I like to say, and harm caused by the Chubby Checker. It's an app that Hewlett Packard put out on their Palm OS
platform.
That's
really funny.
Now, first of all, Palm OS platform? What was
first of all, why do you need an app to measure your penis?
Well, it was just like a funny app, but it was called the Chubby Checker because
checking is a euphemism. Yeah.
The settlement agreement has not been disclosed. Neither side accepted liability. I mean, they did it, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, HP has apparently agreed not to use a singer's stage name, related trademarks, or likenesses. Checker, not the app, the dude, claimed in 2013 that the penis measuring app had violated the Communications Decency Act. I didn't even know we had one. A claim which was thrown out. His claim against trademark infringement was allowed to proceed. The lawsuit is about preserving the integrity and legacy of a man who spent years working hard at his craft. I would never I get it, but if I saw an app called the Chubby Checker, I probably wouldn't think automatically about the
Chubby
musician.
Checker. Yeah.
Anyway, so it's trying to. So the name of his lawyer is Willie Gary, which they thought was humorous for some reason.
I think it's funny.
Now, the Chubby Checker app allowed users to import the shoe size of a man, U.S., U.K., and European shoe sizes were accepted, and return with a measurement of his penis.
Oh, that's funny. I think that would be great for girls.
Estimates show it had been downloaded 84 times at the cost of 99 cents. That's it. It was up, and then it was down.
Yeah.
$500 million?
Okay.
Just ask them to stop. Does he even sell?
Was he in a time machine? Does he know what things are worth?
I don't know.
Is he going into the future?
$500 million for something that sold 84 times and is gone. If he hadn't sued, I wouldn't have heard about it.
Right.
Now whenever I think about Chubby Checker, I'm going to think about a dick.
Yeah. Now.
Now. And that's my penis news.
Very nice.
Everyone's welcome. No need to thank me. I know the thanks is there. All right, what do you have?
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
I have here Discount Celebrity.
Oh, this is a segment that we haven't done in a long, long, long time.
Yeah.
Where we, you know, the economy is still in the shitter. Times are tight and times are tough in Hollywood, too. And when you can't cast your A-lister,
right.
Then we give you the B, C, D, E, F, and Billy Zane replacement, if you will. So Katie has prepared. I'm so excited.
I'm now going to perform
for you. She's
going to
perform for us, Discount Celebrity.
Okay. So I'm going to start off with our A-lister.
Okay.
I was inspired this year by one of my favorite TV shows that
Is it the Ghost Celebrity?
Celebrity Ghost Stories?
No.
One of my favorite shows has come back, and I enjoyed it very much. The show was 24.
starring.
That's still one, going on. Is it the end of the week yet in that show?
It is.
Is it Friday?
Starring Kiefer Sutherland, who is going to be our A-lister.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Kiefer Sutherland is 5'9".
Really?
Yes. And his, so what does that mean? He's really 5'9".
5'7", maybe.
No, 5'8". Is.
Oh, that's right. He probably is 5'9". Why would you lie?
Yeah. His name is Kiefer William Frederick Dempsey George Rufus Sutherland.
Are you kidding?
Not kidding.
Are you sure it's not Frederick? What?
Well, he was,
what was Donald Sutherland thinking? Anyway.
He was born December 21st in 1966, so...
A young man.
You know, and he probably... Do you think he got birthday and Christmas presents in one?
Probably. With all those names? What about name day? It's like every day for him.
Yeah. And he was born in London, England.
Okay.
Even though they went up to Canada.
Is he British?
He was born, so I guess he is. But he went, and then he lived in Canada.
Okay.
He is an actor, film director, film producer, and voice actor. And he's been active in the industry since 1983.
Wow.
He was married to one Camilla Kath.
Okay.
Divorced in 1990.
That didn't work out.
And then in 96 to 2004, Elizabeth Kelly Wynn.
Hmm.
He has one daughter named Sarah.
Okay.
His parents are Donald Sutherland.
Of course.
And Shirley Douglas.
Great. I've seen Donald Sutherland in some fantastic things, and I've seen him in some really sketchy things, too.
I know. I love Donald Sutherland.
He plays a villain a lot, like an eye patch type of situation.
Yeah.
Or like a German.
Yeah.
All right.
But it's not about him today.
No.
This is all about
This is all about the son. Sorry.
Yes.
Typical.
He has a brother, Rosif, and Angus.
Really?
Yeah. They only get one name each.
Angus?
I love the name Angus.
Okay.
I do.
I wonder what his other five names are.
All right. He's best known for his role in the Fox series 24 as Jack Bauer.
He is? What was he known for before that?
I think that Lost Boys was
That's what I'm thinking, too.
His signature role. Lost Boys was a 1987 film starring him and Jason Patrick.
And Corey. Was it Corey Haim or Feldman?
Oh, no, not Corey Hart. Is the singer.
Corey Hart. No, he wasn't in that. Maybe he sang one of the songs.
He was in Stand By Me.
Okay.
He was like the rough and tumble, the bad boy, the neighborhood bully, basically.
Okay.
Young Guns 2, Twin Peaks, Fire Walk With Me.
I don't remember him in that.
We have to look back.
Okay.
A Few Good Men, The Vanishing, Three Musketeers.
Oh, I love The Vanishing, I think. Is that the one with Rufus Sewell?
No,
Dark City is what I'm thinking.
Okay, I don't know.
That's in a great, great novel. And
Flatliners, Phone Booth, Time to Kill.
Okay.
Again, I love The Lost Boys. That's my favorite one where he drinks blood and then he takes his hand and he wipes it across his chin.
Oh, that's right.
Like, we feed or something. Something.
He's the evil vampire.
Yeah, he was awesome in that. Love him. But also, he was in these movies with, he was engaged to Julia Roberts.
Now, who wasn't?
And he was.
How'd he get away?
Well,
She
galloped off with Jason Patrick.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So she was engaged to Kiefer Sutherland. They were going to be married like within days.
Uh-huh.
And she took off with Jason Patrick.
Wow.
And left him.
Oh.
And Jason Patrick and Kiefer were friends.
That's really shady.
It's such, the betrayal. I can't stand it.
Poor Kiefer.
Yeah. We're on your side, Kiefer.
Yeah.
We don't like that nonsense.
We're on Angus's side, too. We got your back, Angus.
Yeah, whatever's going on with you, Angus, we're for you.
Yeah, get a role. Let us see what you can do. Anyway, though, it's not about him.
Not about him. But still, he does voiceovers, too. Monsters vs. Aliens, Marmaduke.
Oh, that was really one of the worst.
Dragon Lace.
Worst looking at pieces of animation ever.
Yeah. His quotes are, I've had some amazing people in my life. Look at my father. He came from a small fishing village of 500 people. And at 6'4", with giant ears and a kind of very odd expression.
He's that tall?
Yeah.
Wow.
He thought he could be a movie star. So go figure, you know?
That's what he says. As monstrous and freakish as he looked, he was like, hey, let me in front of a camera.
And they did it. And they made the right choice because he's awesome.
He's huge. Okay.
Yeah. Kiefer also says, I like chatting with people. If people ask me a direct question, I give them a direct answer.
An indirect shady question? So, do you ever think you might want to kind of think about...
So what do you think about... What were you...
How do you feel about the wars?
Yeah. And he says, let's see. I think the most attractive thing is a sense of humor. If someone can make you laugh, you've gotten a lot out of the way.
What? You fooled them.
It's out of the way.
Let's just, get right by this.
A guy walks into the bar. Now we got that out.
Now we got that over. Now it's the serious stuff. I'm damaged.
Yeah. I feel extraordinarily peaceful when I'm watching the sunset.
Huh.
That's nice.
Does anyone really, does the sunset make your blood boil? Anybody out there who's listening? Is it always like, fuck, are you kidding me?
God damn it, another day done.
Yes, it's over.
Now this night is here again.
I'll see you in hell, son.
And then he says, my mother is 5'2", and I'll be honest with you, she's the only person I'm scared of.
Well, wow. It's 2 inches taller than me. I'm scared of her as well.
Yeah. And then he says, there are two things that Jack Bauer never does. Show mercy and go to the bathroom.
Right. Wow. When, I've never seen 24, but whenever I think of him, he's like just crouching and running with a gun.
When he's 24.
And he's coming around the corner.
Yeah, and he says damn it a lot. Damn it is the big thing. Somebody counted all the damn it's that happen within 24.
They put it together.
And they have, there's a whole thing. There's like a whole, just like a website dedicated to the damn it's.
Wow.
In each episode, telling it up.
I have never seen it.
Him saying it, other characters saying it.
Is it from a book?
Chloe's.
What? Is it from a book originally? The
no.
character? Okay. It's
no,
his own
no,
thing.
No.
That's interesting.
Another quote is, I'm a bit obsessed about tidiness. I need to make my bed in the morning and leave it perfectly made up.
I hear that.
I do too.
I don't like to come back to a messy bed.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
Yeah. It's bullshit, man. It makes my blood boil.
Let's see. Commercials, he shills for Cuervo, Jose Cuervo. Just the whole
Ray Liotta is shilling for 1800 tequila, yeah. And I don't know what they put on the lens. But his skin is flawless, and we know that's not a possibility. He looks good. Anyway.
He doesn't. So he says Cuervo, Bank of America.
Okay.
And he also was the voice of the World Cup soccer promos for the U.S. team.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I can't see the person, I'm not sure who it is. I know that annoying guy from The Office, Jim, the ugly guy.
Yeah.
He's always doing voiceovers.
Yeah, he does a lot of them, too.
And I don't want any of that insurance or whatever it is.
I want whatever he's selling.
Whatever you're selling.
We like what Kafer sells.
Yes.
Because I'm a fan.
Well, except for Bank of America. Okay, so
actually, I changed my Facebook profile to be
Kiefer Sutherland
because just throughout this 24 season.
You've donated your picture
yeah.
to 24? You're working for 24.
Yeah, it's my tribute.
There's a little show called 24. Have you seen it?
Listeners, I have a friend, two friends that I worked with, and we would text each other scenes from 24. And then I would transcribe them. And during our lunch, we would take the scripts and act them out.
It was like the Finer Things Club. Yes. We should do a 24. I don't know 24.
You don't know 24. No. You're like, yay, what?
Yeah, who? Why not? It sounds exciting. I could be like, damn it.
So
he's the A-lister. Okay, no. I'm scared. So he's the A-lister at 100%.
At 100%.
And if you're casting,
I guess
an action, right? If you're casting an action or a kind of a tough bad boy character with a heart of gold and you just don't have the funds.
Right.
Who do you get?
Stephen Dorff. You're shaking your head at me.
The e-cigarette guy?
Yes.
Here's the thing. So he has these commercials where he's advertising, is it blue e-cigarettes or something like that? And he looked like, man, ain't nobody got time for that. No one cares that you're smoking an e-cigarette on the beach. Oh, he's all upset about it. Like,
he was like, I love to smoke.
And he looks like crap.
He looks like, that's the thing.
Usually you show a product. If you saw like a McDonald's commercial and everyone just looked like a heroin junkie, you'd be like, I don't think I want to eat there.
Yeah.
He looks like a homeless. But like a smart homeless. Do you know what I mean? Like smartly dressed, kind of like, you know.
He looks like
rough and tumble ne'er-do-well.
He has seen some things.
Yes. That's he's like a noir.
Yeah.
He's like a film noir.
Even though he's showered, he doesn't look showered.
No. So, okay, Stephen Dorff.
He's 5'7".
Okay.
And he admits it.
He
was born July 29th,
1973. Okay. Oh, a young man.
In Atlanta, Georgia, the son of Nancy and Steve Dorff.
Hot Atlanta.
Steve Dorff is a composer and music producer. His father is Jewish and mother Catholic. Oh, God.
Okay, good luck.
Yeah.
Guilt. He doesn't care. You've seen his ads. He'll blow that vapor right in your face.
Yeah.
On the beach.
He was raised in L.A., mm-hmm. attended private school, and got expelled from 5 of them.
See?
Yes, see,
he's badass.
Yes. He was in the movie Space Truckers, I Shot Andy Warhol, great movie.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember him, but sure.
Blade, Cold Creek Manor.
Blade as what? Blade. I've seen him in some really shoddy things.
He was Deacon Frost.
Okay. Oh, yeah. A seminal role.
Let's see. Blood and Wine, City of Industry.
Blood and Wine.
Cecil B. Demented.
Okay, yep. That's John Waters, right?
Mm-hmm. So,
and if that's it?
No, okay. But no, it goes on and on. Just like,
well, just give me some highlights of things that I might have heard of. Because I know I've seen him. I saw him in a sword and sandal thing when I was like, please put a shirt back on. Do you know what? Two layers of chainmail. And quit smoking an e-cigarette.
Alone in the Dark, Shadow Boxer, 45, The Passage, Felon.
So he's 24, or the other, 45? What's 45? Like 1945? No,
it's
one cares.
It's like a cult 45.
Okay. Cult 45.
Tomorrow You're Gone, Officer Down, the Iceman, and he's working on Heatstroke right now. And he's been in a lot of TV shows.
Does he get naked in movies? He's either the kind of guy who'd be like, you know what, let's throw some nudity in there.
Yeah.
I need to get work.
I need to do something.
I need to do something here.
Is it full?
Yeah.
Frontal? Is, but he was on,
I'm going to turn to the front.
He was on Different Strokes in 1985. So
really?
He was born, so he was, so it makes him 12 when he was
wow.
on
wow. Yeah. As what? Like a tramp?
Scott.
Scott.
Scott. In one episode, he was Scott. He was on Married with Children, mm-hmm. Empty Nest, Roseanne.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what makes him the disco?
Well, he has his... some discounts. He goes, I was considered for the part of Jack in Titanic.
Is that the lead?
Yeah, he okay. was glad he didn't play the Jack. That was the Leonardo DiCaprio.
I haven't seen it.
You've never seen Titanic?
No, because black people don't care about Titanic. we weren't even allowed to be in the bottom. What are you talking about? We probably helped that around the back. They like load stuff in the back. If you guys want to hitch a ride, there's an anchor. That's it. Move on. The last time you took a boat ride wasn't so fun either, so maybe skip it.
Oh my god.
Okay, so
he was glad he didn't get the part of like the biggest blockbuster in history, because he would have always been remembered for the guy on the boat.
Instead of not being remembered at all and being in an e-cigarette commercial.
He likes to vacation in Saint-Tropez.
Okay. There's really no information about him, because there's just not very much here at all. He writes his own introductions.
Oh my god. What else did he do? Yeah. He basically is a list of where he's gone on vacation. He says, I enjoy my lifestyle living by the beach in Venice.
So this guy stays as long as he can in one place, and then he's like, I gotta get a gig.
Yeah.
What's going on? Yeah. E-cigarettes? He lives in Venice. He probably is filming that outside his house.
I'm not afraid to admit I enjoy the money. That's what he
is said. Anybody?
I'd like to
make Is there money. Anyone in Hollywood who's like, you know what? What I really always think about is how much better this would be if I weren't getting paid.
Yeah. I like to make movies about characters. I like smaller films. That's what I love to do.
Okay, that's good. That's it.
And about Hollywood, he says, I don't know how it works. There's been times I've wondered, why the fuck am I not getting that movie?
Okay.
There's so much to this game, like who's hot.
Because
and all
you're
that.
In the discount bin.
If you stay true and work with great directors, that's all I can hope for. Right now I feel most solid, and my work is the best I've ever done. I feel fortunate.
What
but he goes,
that?
I like the money.
I like the money, though.
Yeah.
Small money, only.
I pretty much lived movie to movie in my younger years because I love spending money.
Wow.
And I didn't really have a concept of assets, but I got a little older. I bought art. I have all these cool pictures. A Warhol painting, Basquiat, and Keith Haring.
Okay.
So, but for a while there, I was just living movie to movie. Oh, I need a job. All right. What's out there? Okay, I'll take that one.
Okay, at least he's honest. I feel like if you went to his house, you would see, like, on the wall spots where paintings used to be.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh, well, this used to be one of Basquiat's later pieces.
Yeah.
This was Keith Haring's crack his wag barking dog.
Yeah, this is the radiating baby. Was the radiating baby.
Yeah. And you guys want some champagne or some money?
Let's see. About his youth. Yeah, I partied. I went a little crazy with the girls, had my drinking days, but never got addicted to hardcore drugs.
Okay.
I really do believe that it's because I was lucky enough to have a family that really guarded me in a city like this.
Huh.
That's nice.
That's interesting.
So, yeah, these are...
He keeps it real. I can see where the... So, they have a similar look.
They still... They both are, like, kind of tough. And
yeah, the range is, you know, been kind of similar
two
range.
Inches.
Yeah, two inches.
So, it's like, costume-wise, they probably...
They could work for each other.
Yeah.
He obviously doesn't have the same acumen.
Yeah.
You know, politically within Hollywood, you know, maybe the Kiefer Sutherland didn't mention spending all his money all the time.
And, yeah, and Kiefer also shills for, you know, quality.
Yeah.
You know, Bank of America.
Bank of America versus e-cigarettes.
And, yeah, and Cuervo versus e-cigarettes.
Yes.
You know, I think those.
Okay. So what is the discount then?
You know, the discount,
Is it bad? Is it less than half?
It's 75% off.
What?
Yes. According to my calculations.
According to
I ran the numbers over and over. And
it always came out this he's 75% off. We could maybe get him in here.
Maybe.
Steven Dorff, if you're interested in doing a podcast, I know we didn't cast you in the most favorable light.
That's okay.
But
come on in.
This is the kind of work you can do.
And Kiefer Sutherland, if you want to come in.
Yeah.
You can come into the Hey You Know It studio.
Yeah, anytime. You can crouch and run in with a piece.
And you could say, damn it.
You could say, damn it, and then be out.
As many times as you want.
I like that. That was an excellent discount. So we have not done that one in a while. Thank you very much. I feel like you have inadvertently raised the bar.
Yeah.
Which I don't appreciate. We're trying to.
I'm in it to win it. I don't know what we're going to win, but
yeah.
I didn't know we were.
You trounced that one. So this is the top five most expensive apps on the Apple Store.
Oh,
so here's
how much is anyone going to really pay for an app?
Well, let's see.
Okay.
The most expensive app store, or the most expensive app on the App Store, is a £699. So that's $1,000. It's called the IVP. It is a app for millionaires. It says, being rich is fun, probably, with the IVP Millionaires app. Member privileges include access to some of the most luxurious hotels in the world.
Like, they can't get in them in the first place.
Yeah, because the other day when we went over to the Waldorf, they just took one look and were like, step back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to the most luxurious hotel, seats at the finest restaurants.
What?
This is so weird. Maybe it's living in New York City. If you have money in New York City, nobody cares about anything else.
You can go
into almost any bar and any restaurant.
You're a millionaire. Your money's no good here.
Yes.
Get out of here.
You
We're
going to
take your kind.
And they also private jets and monthly high-value gift boxes. Once users have purchased IVP, they must verify their assets are valued above $1 million before they can be accepted into the program of events and services. I don't see, like, either you have the money to pay for something or you don't.
And why do you get discounts on things?
I don't.
Or you get access?
See, that's the weird thing, because you're a millionaire, right? So this is like a Groupon situation for like Donald Trump, where he's like, you know what? I do want to go on this jet. It's $18,000. Mm-hmm. I'd like to pay $17,500. Like, so this is it. And the reason why the max you can charge is $1,000 on for an app.
Hmm.
So they charge the max at the time.
I think it costs between $9,000 and $12,000 an hour for a private jet.
Wow.
And I'm talking about a small one. I'm talking to like 12 people.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Here's another one. It's the Secret Agent app. How much is it?
If you charter it, not your seat on the plane.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not like that.
That's why they have all that sharing, though, that you see every once in a while. You can share a jet with
somebody. That's why they're doing that, yeah.
Because, you know, times are tight.
But if we go ahead and chartered a Hey You Know It plane,
mm-hmm,
and put, you know, 10 of our friends on there with us, then it would cost us between 9 and 12 per hour.
Oh, that's not bad.
To do the whole thing.
If you split it up.
No, but
if you charge people to get on. Like, once they're in the plane, you'd be like, this plane's not going to land unless you fork over that credit card.
So $120,000 for a 10-hour stretch.
Wow.
Because you got to get there, go wherever you're going, and then come back.
That's crazy. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Katie knows this because she often charters jets. So here's another app that you probably already know about if you're in jets for £200. Oh, sorry, £199, because that feels better than £200. That's much less. If James Bond used an iPhone, he'd probably use Safe Session to download it to his device. Safe Session enables voice encryption of all your calls, so they say.
Okay.
But you have no way of checking this. Like, when someone tells me something is secure, I'm like, how can I tell it is secure? It's a fancy way of saying no one can listen in on you and what you're saying. It's presumably in the interest of safety, and you're protecting your privacy. The idea was to reach certain business-oriented users, but not high amount of downloads. So you have a qualified team rather than a complex software behind this app, so you can have complete privacy for £200. And
what?
Then here's another one for £149.
All right.
It's called Water Globe.
Yeah.
And it's developed by a company called Ubiquitous Muffin.
Oh, my gosh.
Although
Ubiquitous.
I'm thinking Ubiquitous Muffin Top.
Yes, exactly.
Although it's the cheapest of the apps on the list, the price is a shock. It's a Water Globe app, and it allows you to pick and choose a water globe and then watch the items inside bob around on the screen. So it's a virtual water globe, and you can decide whatever is in it. There's a picture of like the man on the moon. There's like the thinker is in there. That's for 150 pounds. You can have your own app that simulates a water globe. Fantastic.
Oh.
Did you want to mention something?
Just want a quick mention. We have been asked, again, what was the name of that book? What was that name of the book on psychology that you had people come in and talk about? And it is called Bear, Psychotherapy Stripped.
Yep.
By Dr. Jacqueline Gunn and Carlo DiCarlo.
Yeah. And it's available now on Amazon.
Yes.
I think there's an ebook version as
there's
well.
There's an ebook and a hard copy that's ready to go. People are asking about it.
And
so
the link will
again,
be right there.
Yeah. So once again, here it is, Bear, Psychotherapy Stripped.
Mm-hmm. That's B-A-R-E.
Right.
Not B-A-I-R.
Go get it. It's... Go get it. It's an excellent book.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass as a token of our appreciation. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows, and yes, you will receive an official Hey You Know It shot glass as well.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks!
You know the song Lenny Kravitz's American Woman?
Yeah, that's
American
about him.
Woman.
It's about Stephen Dorff.
No. he provides the
Really?
That's him.
So what, he was just around that day and Lenny was like, okay, fine.
Why can't Lenny do that? No, Stephen's got
He didn't want to.
Yeah.
He's like, who's this guy? Who's sitting in the background? No, it works. Okay.